Well, we are a couple of days after Shavuos, and the question is, with Shavuos behind us, where do we set our sights? Where are we going now that we have experienced the Zman Matan Toroseinu? Where are we really headed? And I'm going to give you what I believe to be the answer. It may sound a little strange because it was a little strange to me also. This year is the first time I've thought in these terms, but I truly think that the immediate follow-up of the Yontif of Shavuos is Rosh Hashanah. That is where we are headed. And I'll explain to you why, although then we'll have to come and start this whole thing from the beginning. But I just want to tell you the background against which I am thinking. I believe very, very firmly that Megillas Rus is the story of the establishment of Malchus in Yisrael. You know that there's a mitzvah of Minui Melech, the first mitzvah that Klal Yisrael were mechuyev when they came into Eretz Yisrael after the Midbar was Limnos Lehem Melech. And that Melech, obviously, we'll see as we go along, is a reflection of the Rebbeinu Shloilam's Malchus. So very, very much the mitzvah of Minui Melech and the Hamlocha of the Rebbeinu Shloilam, they belong together. And Rosh Hashanah is the day when Imulafonai Malchios Kadesh Tamlichuni Alechem. We want to recognize the Rebbeinu Shloilam as Melech on Rosh Hashanah, and our Melech, whom we have down here, we don't have one now, but in Yetzer Hashem we will when Mashiach comes, and we did when David HaMelech was on the throne. So there was a Melech, and we'll find that that Melech points very unambiguously to the Rebbeinu Shloilam. We'll talk about that. And I believe firmly that Megillas Rus, that the real plot ke'ilo of Megillas Rus is the establishment of the Malchus. That is what I believe. We'll try and show that as we go along in this shir. And what does that have to do with Shavuos, with Matan Torah? Well, we know what it has to do with Matan Torah, because Matan Torah had the purpose of Vatem Tiyuli Mamleches Koyanim V'Goy Kodosh, the establishment of a mamlocho, and a guy, a mamlocho, is a nation under a king. So we're supposed to be a mamleches koyanim, which Rashi says is sorim, a nation of aristocrats. And aristocrats obviously have a melech over them, because that's part of their aristocracy. So we're talking over here, on the Yontif of Matan Torah, the first seeds of the establishment of the Malchus in Yisrael. And I believe, again, I can't prove it to you, but I believe that the opening posuk of Megillas Rus, Vayhi b'yemei Shvot HaShoftim, why does it have to tell us that this story happened during the times of the Shoftim? I mean, it's Nageya, because Chazal say, the Gemara in Bava Basra, Iftzon ze Boaz, that one of the Shoftim, Iftzon, is Boaz. That was the same person. We may get to that a little later in the shir. So we're talking about the time of the Shoftim. But why does the story of Rus really require that? And I think that the Oymer Kapshat of the opening posuk, which is Vayhi b'yemei Shvot HaShoftim, is telling us, listen, this is going to be a Megillah about the Malchus, and it's taking place long before anybody's even dreaming about the Malchus, because we are in the Tekufa of the Shvot HaShoftim. That means that the Malchus is creeping up on us, like not allowing us to notice it. I mean, the people who were living at the time and who were an audience to the drama of the whole story of Rus's marriage to Boaz, they probably weren't thinking at all about Malchus in any way. It's not something which they had experienced. But that's what's going on over here. Shavuos is the ideal day on which to think about the establishment of the Malchus, and the establishment of the Malchus ultimately, of course, is the guarantee of the Nitzrius of Klal Yisrael through the Melech HaMashiach. So we're going to have a whole big plateful of issues over here in Megillas Rus. So let's start off with a little riddle, and that is, who is the biggest hero in Megillas Rus? Who is the one who really stands at the center of Megillas Rus? And I'm going to give you a little hint, and that is that he doesn't appear in the story altogether, except in a very, very tiny kind of way. He's not one of the actors in the story of Rus, and yet I maintain that he is the hero of the Megillah. Okay, you've had a little time to think about it. Let me tell you who I think is the Ikka hero of the Megillah, and that is Peretz. Peretz, the son of Yehuda. If we go all the way to the end of the Megillah, where they're giving brachas by the chasna between Boaz and Rus, Vayomru kol ha'om asher b'shaah ha'zekeinim edim yitin Hashem es ha'isha ha'boi b'esecho k'rochel u'cheleyo asher bonu shteyem es b'es Yisroel v'asechayil b'efrosa u'kurosh shem b'veiz lochem v'yhi v'escho k'veiz peretz asher yoldo tomo li'Yehuda. The biggest brocha which all the Yidden were able to give to this wonderful couple, this Boaz and Rus, what brocha did they give them? That your bias, I guess your children, should be little peretzes. Vayhi beischo keves peretz, asher yolda soma liyehuda, min hazera asher yitin Hashem lucho min hanaara hazaz. So where does peretz come into this? And the emesis, everybody knows, this earlier mention, I guess sometimes we can forget about that because it's not so central, but the way the Megillah ends, Eile toil das Peretz. Peretz heule des Chetzren, Chetzren heule des Rom, Rom heule des Aminodov, Aminodov heule des Nachshon, Nachshon heule des Salmo, Salmon heule des Boaz, Boaz heule des Oved, Oved heule des Yishai, Yishai heule des David. So we're talking the story of Peretz. And who is Peretz? Peretz is the Koyach of Malchus, who is Peretz, who smashes the accepted norms and is creative beyond anything that one can imagine. And as we are talking about this already, we might as well point out the Peretz nature of Boaz. He's tucker like a mini Peretz, or maybe not a mini Peretz, a big Peretz. Because what does he smash? Well, the first thing he smashes is the issa of Lo Yovei Amoni Moavi B'Kal Hashem, that we're not allowed to marry people from Amoni Moav. And nobody had ever heard of these funny things. Amoni V'Loi Amoni Moavi V'Loi Moavis. What's going on? So he was, the people had to fight with Mamish, like it was real Milchomas, to establish, to smash through the accepted doctrine that a ger from Amon and Moav would be also to marry a Jew, even if it's a lady. And Boaz fought the battle and established that Rus was mutter lover likohal, because Amoni v'loi Amonis, Moavi v'loi Moavis. That is being a Peretz. That is smashing. Can you imagine what was going on in all the, don't know what they had in those times, don't want to insult either the Hamadiyah or the Yated, they probably had additions then too, but that they must have been full of that. You know, here that the people would say he's a reformed Jew, he's making his own things. It must have been like, it was a big thing. It was a very, very big thing. The truth is that he was another Peretz. He was another Peretz. And where was his other Peretzhood? The other Peretzhood was when Boaz first appears in the story. Let's see where we can find it. V'hinei Boaz bo mi beis lechem, v'yomer la koitzrim Hashem imochem, vayongu lo yivorechecho Hashem. He greeted them by saying Hashem imochem. So straight in the Medrash Rabbah, on Rus, ba'omat boyaz ubeis dinoi, v'iskinu lishol sholon b'shem, shnema v'hine boyaz bo mibeis lochem, v'chein ha'malach omer l'gidon, and the Rebbein Shem was masking to that, because the Malach said to Gidon, Hashem imcho gibarach oyel. So the Rebbein Shem was malachim were masking that when you greet somebody, you can use the shame of the Rebbein Shem. That is also a very, very, very big smashing through. Again, I'm quite sure that didn't go down so easily by people. Whoever heard of the Shem Shomayim Levatolah like that, I want to say hello to you. Hi, how are you doing? How are you doing? Yeah, nothing much. Hashem Imochem. The Rebbein Shem, we use the Rebbein Shem's name, or we are allowed to use the Rebbein Shem's name to say hi to somebody. What's so holy about hi? That's a Meir D'Gezach. And listen to this. Yeah, we've heard so many times, and we've learned from our Rabbein, there is no coincidence in Tanakh. It's not the pshat is that whoever was Machnes Megillas Rus into Tanakh said, listen, we have to fill this out a little bit. There's not enough interesting things going on. Let's try and think of something else. Oh, somebody comes up and says it's great. Oh, because Boyos introduced this She'elas Sholem B'Shem. So why don't we stick it in? That's not the way things work. If it's here in the Megillah, that means that the fact that Boyos was mechadish such an enormous chiddush, and stellt avek, such an enormous yesoid, which really changed people's life. Because what's really saying Hashem imochem? Let's put ourselves into the shoes of these workers. They're ordinary farm hands, and they were scything the chitim and the soirim. Well, they weren't theologians. And suddenly they'd been taught from their mother's knee that you don't say the Shem Hashem Levatola. And suddenly the boss comes home and says, hey, hello, Hashem Imochem. What's going on? And there must have been lots and lots of people who objected to that. But Boyos was a peretz. Boyos was a peretz. He smashed through. And the emesis that if we now are mitzaref to the way I started the shiur today, namely that Megillas Rus is the story of the beginnings, the seeds of the Malchus. So then, that itself is Moiladik, because we pointed out that the Megillah starts Vayehi b'yomei Shvoit HaShoftim. So we're not talking about the Tkufa of the Malachim yet. The Teretz is, that is a pirzah, that the whole story of Rus is a pirzah. This is Peretz's story. Lomo poratzta lecho poratz. Zorach came out first, Zerach came out first, and then this little parrot comes and sticks out his hand and says, just a moment, right? I'm not masking to Zerach's ascendancy. I am the Melech. So she says, and the Torah records a simple Mialedes. Yeah, and here she's being mechadish Torah. Lama poratz talucho poratz. That's the Moed Ekdash. She understood that the melucha has to have a koyach of peretz, and that is central to the Megillah. And that is why I believe that the hero of the Megillah is Taka Peretz. So I mean. So let's think a little bit about this melech that is coming about over here. And it's really a lot of very, very interesting things going on. But in the meanwhile, just from this Hakdama, we can just go back a moment to this suggestion which I was making, that from Shavuos we move straight to Rosh Hashanah. Really, I've thought about that quite a bit recently. You know, everybody knows Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot. Those are the Shalosh Regalim. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, as Yomim Noivoim. So really, it seems, and I seem to remember that in the Shiurim that I have heard and so on, that these are two ma'arochas, as a ma'areches of Sholosh Regolem and as a ma'areches of Yomim Noivoim, and the twain shall never meet. They're not parts of each other. And why does Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur come in the middle between Shavuos and Sukkos? So what do you want? I mean, Rosh Hashanah is the day of the creation, and that's when it was. And Yom Kippur has to come 10 days after Rosh Hashanah, so that's where it was. But it doesn't really belong here, because really, we're interrupting over here between something which ought not to be interrupted, namely Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos. So there shouldn't be a Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur between. But I don't think that that's emes. And I do know that a couple of months ago, I came across a medrash, I may have mentioned even in one of the shiurim, I don't remember, but that he says that he counts it Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkos. And the emes is, I think, that it's poshut like that. You can't say that really Sukkos should follow after Shavuos without an interruption. But what can you do? Like, you have to make Rosh Hashanah on the right day by the Bria. So that's not the way things work. It's not the pshat is that by coincidence this Yomim Noroim came in the middle. This Yomim Noroim belong there. Why do they belong there? Because Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, of course, belong together. But you need the Kabbalah's Malchus, the Tamlichuni Aleichem, in order to make a Yom of Kippur possible. That's true that in that sense those two belong together, but they belong after Shavuos and before Sukkos. Why? Because the peak of everything, the peak of total Malchus Shemaim, is Sukkos. To go out into Diras Arai, to be surrounded by the Anane Kovat, to have only an Arai between ourselves and Shemaim, that is Malchus Shemaim. And of course, the peak of that Malchus Shemaim is Shmini Atzeres, when we take all this closeness to the Ribono Shel Olam into our everyday house. So really, I think that the peak of all the Yomim Tovim, including Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, is Shmini Atzeres, and that is the ideal picture of a Jew. And Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur come in the middle because they have to come in the middle. Because Rosh Hashanah is yoinek from Shavuos and prepares the ground for Sukkos and Shmini Atzeres. So that's a pretty big thing. That I think that if we are Erlich Yidden to the extent that we are Erlich Yidden and think what we are doing and are at least aware of what we are not doing that we ought to be doing, those of us who have not immediately after Havdalah on Shavuos started learning Shari Tshuva or whatever it is in order to get ready for Rosh Hashanah, they're missing a certain Jewish gesture. The concept that Shavuos has to grow into Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and from there to Sukkos and from there, hold your breath, to Shmini Atzeres. So that's where we are holding at the moment. So let's think a little bit about to what extent and in what way these insights help us to understand a little bit Megillas Rus. Now, the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim, it's the last halachos in the Rambam, as you know, the Yad, the 14th Sefer is Shoftim, and the final halachos in Sefer Shoftim is Hilchos Melachim, and we used to have a Milcham Oseim, but after the Frankel Rambam, we have, because the Taimonim, who have the best manuscripts, have not Milchom Oseim, but Umilchomas. Hilchos Melachim Umilchomas is the closing halacha of the Mishneh Torah. So I'm going to read from Perek Beis Halacha Vov something that really was very interesting to me. And I'm not sure that I have the right pshat even now, but I'd like to share it with you. So the Perek Beis as a whole deals with all the kovod which accrues to the king. All the things that he's allowed to do and he's not allowed to do. Ich weiß, aber ishtar shel melech einer neveles la'acha le'oilam, afilo ha'melech einer noise almanosa kushosa shel melech acha. And v'osa ligos oisa kashu orum, v'lo kashu mistape, meis lo meis einer yoitze mi pesach palteren shelai, ha'melech mistape b'chol yoim, he has to have a haircut every day, u'misaken atzmai, u'misnoe b'levushin mefu'orin, Shenema Melech b'yof yoisech ezeno enecho, v'yoshef al kisei malchus b'paltren shaloi, u'meisim kesas tutzich up the covet which the Melech owes to himself by the way he acts towards himself, and also the way we as a people have to act towards him. That is the subject matter of Perek Beis in Hilchos Melochim. And now we get to the Halacha Vov. And it says as follows: Kederach shecholak loy hakosov hakovod hagodol v'chiyev hakol b'chvoida. Just like the Rebbeinu Shlolem was cholak, that means apportioned to him, hakovod hagodol v'chiyev hakol b'chvoida, that everybody has to go around being mechabed him. Kain so. He commanded that the king's heart should be shofel, low, downtrodden, I guess, v'cholol, and empty. Shnema v'libi cholol b'kirbi. V'lo yinoy gasos leif b'Yisroel yeso midai. Shnema levilti rum levova me'echov. Only things for other people. Ein lono godol mi Moshe Rabbeinu, v'harei hu oime v'nachnu mo, k'yeva olu satcha novu, v'yisbal tirchom u'masom u'tilunosom v'kitzpom, k'ashe yiso hu oime nes ha'yoinek, roye k'roye ha'kosov. The Torah calls him a shepherd, lir ois b'yakov avdo, v'daka shal roye mefurush b'kabole, k'roye ed royire, b'zroye o yukavet t'loim, u'b'cheiko yiso olos yinahel. So the king has to be an honor of Shaloi Kom Komoyu. Now, on the surface, that sounds pretty strange. Like, we're supposed to, like, his whole duty in life is to be an honor of, and we go around and we mechabit him, and this covered, and later on the chvez we learn, he can go around the country and take our sons to be outrunners when he goes out in his carriage, that they should run. Here, v'shaleach b'chol gvul Yisroel, v'loikeach min ha'om mehen chayil me'kafto v'froshof, u'mamit mehem oimdim l'fonof, u'mamit mehem anoshem lorutz l'fonof. As tutzich ap v'loikeach min ha'yofim shebohem lios shamoshem v'oimdim l'fonof. Was tutzich? In other words, we're giving so much covet, and then we tell him, Livi cholol b'kirbi. That's a very, very, very difficult task, it seems to me. I mean, if a person says, all right, I want to be a real honor. Recently, the former Vision Tzur Rebbe was nifta, and his son became the new Rebbe. So I read yesterday in one of those magazines that he insisted that the title, which usually is used, Legaba Rebbe, Kedushas something, quite Kedushas Moron, something like that. So he insisted that those two words not be used, quite Kedushas. He says it's not true, and I don't want them to be used. That I can understand very well. Yeah, he wants to be, from the article which I read, he seems to be a Goyser Tzadik Yisrael Olam, and he doesn't want to be a Belgaiver. No, that's a Magadik Yisrael. So what does he say? He doesn't say, go and do this for me, and this for me, and this for me, and this for me. Forget! Yeah, they have a story there that apparently usually when the Rebbe goes out into the street from here to there, so a lot of people accompany him. So he made sure that nobody should accompany him. And while they weren't looking, he slipped into a house and came out through the back door so they wouldn't know where he was. He escaped COVID. No, that I understand. If you really make this your avoider, and he's a big tzaddik and he understands that this is the avoider that he ought to be doing, so he doesn't go and say, okay, please make sure that I have a golden crown. Please make sure that I have a haircut every day. Please make sure this. Oh, by the way, yeah, any of you who have sons between 14 and 17, please send them to me. I need them to run in front of my carriage. I mean, what's it? You're giving him so much cover. You're giving so much covered, and there you're asking that with all that covered, he has to be an unbelievable onuf in a very, very, very big way. So it's very, very, very hard. But nish does is what bothers me, the ikkah. It's not that which bothers me. What really bothers me, and I checked it in the Shinui Nuschois, and it seems that everybody has this nusach, it says, kederach, this in this halacha vav, which I'm reading to you, kederach shecholak loy hakosov hakovod hagodol v'chiev hakol b'chvoida, kach tzivolios libo b'kir b'shofel v'cholol. Now what does that mean, kederach? If the Rambam had not said kederach, if the Rambam would have used the beginning of Perek Beis as he does, to tell us that you have to be mechabit him very, very much, and this covered, and this covered, and this covered, and this covered. And then he would say, and by the way, he has a very, very hard job, and that is that in spite of all the covered, which he has to nebuch bear, but at the same time, he should also be a big onuf. Oh, that would understand. It would be difficult, and I'm glad I'm not burdened by that particular avoider, because it's very, very hard, I'm quite sure. But, all right. Oh, but the Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam says, "Kederach shecholach le'akosef hakovet hagodol v'chiyev hakol b'chvoida kach tzivul liyos libo b'kiva." It sounds like it's two sides of the same coin. It's not the pshat is that this is your duty because of your kinglihood. This is your duty because of your Yiddishkeit. As king, you have to have an enormous lot of kavod. As Jew, you have to be a very, very big onuf. Best of luck. Try it out. Work on it and you'll be okay. That I understand. Oh, but to tell you that the Anova is Kederach, what does that mean? In other words, it seems to mean that, I mean, Poshut, the simple translating of the words, it seems to me, seem to be that it's two sides of the same coin. That the covered Godel is Mechayev, this enormous anova. Because you deserve all this covet, you should be an enormous onuf. Like, how does it follow? So I really think that the pshat in this Rambam is like this, and that will lead us to a havona, which I believe is a good havona in Megillas Rus. What does it mean, kederach shecholak lehakosef? Well, everybody knows that later on, at least I think it's a well-known Rambam, that the Rambam says over there that the melech shouldn't have... where is it? See if I can find it. Okay, I can't find it now. The Rambam says over there that he shouldn't be constantly with his wives. It's not good to spend too much time. Let's see if I can find it. Oh, here we are. V'chein lo yetz in Perek Gimel. V'chein lo yiye shotuf b'noshem. Afilu lo hoysela elo achas lo yiye motzui etzlo tomet. Kishor hatipshem. Shenema al titen l'noshem chelecho. Al hasoras liboy hikpida toiro, because the Torah says in case they will be mesa his slave. So the Rambam says, al hasoras liboy hikpida toiro, shenema v'lo yoso levovoy, sh'liboy hu leiv kol kahal Yisrael. Ulfichach dafka yakosu betoigo yoso mishah ha'am, sh'nema kol yomei chayav. So the Rambam is saying this enormous word, that his liboy is the leiv of kol kahal Yisrael, ulfichach dafka yakosu betoigo yoso mishah ha'am, sh'nema kol yomei chayav. Okay, but I don't understand. The Rambam said a minute ago that it should be shofel v'cholol. K'deir sh'cholat lo yakosef ha'kovot ha'godol v'chiyev ha'kol b'chvoidoy, kach tzivir li yoz liboy b'kirbo shofel v'cholol. That my heart, or the heart of the king, has to be shofel, downtrodden, v'cholol, just a nothing. There's nothing there, an empty pit. Now let me ask you: if his liboy is the lave of Kol Yisrael, so that's a good lave of Kol Yisrael, which is shofel and cholol. I mean shofel and cholol. I mean the Rambam is not making exaggerations over here. The lave should be shofel and cholol. So if the lave should be shofel and cholol, so how can you at the same time say that it's the lave of the whole of Klal Yisrael? But I think that the Teretz is poshut. Teretz is poshut. When the Rambam says that his lave should be shofel b'cholol, when the Rambam says that, he means mitzad his individual personality. That he is nothing. Ich bin agonisht, ich bin agonisht, ich bin agonisht, ich bin agonisht. So his life is cholol. And the male roye kavoy rachmon, kavoye edro yire, that he'll carry his sheep and the cotton and the gadol, he'll look after everybody. He is mafke his entire life to the people. Oh, if he's mafke his entire life to the people, so then you give him covet. This enormous covet of the second perek. Not for Mr. King, not for the individual, but before the man who carries the whole of Klal Yisrael in his heart. Ui, does he deserve covet? And even things which we would think of crazy, like do we respect somebody more because he has a daily haircut than if he doesn't have a daily haircut? Yeah, if he is a unique person. There is no other person like him. And the shiur shouldn't get too long, so I'm not going to go into all these things that what I hinted at before, that he's taka the representative of the Rebbeinu Shlalom. If you have the time and you want to follow it up, that's a Rambam in Hilchos Chagiga, that's in Sefer Korbanos, the last halacha in Hilchos Chagiga, where the Rambam says that even big Talmidei Chachomim by Hakel have to listen to the Melech with all their attention. And the Rambam says, why? Because when they hear the Melech, they're hearing the Rebbeinu Shlalom, because the Melech is the Shliach of the Rebbeinu Shlalom. And that's a whole big sugya, whether that's only in Hakel or whether a Melech Bechlal, that the way the Torah looks at a Melech, it means that he is a Shliach of the Rebbeinu Shlalom. If he is a Shliach of the Rebbeinu Shlalom, that's a Mayri Gazach, so you mechabit him like crazy. And you do things for him which you wouldn't do to anybody else. Yeah, you need the haircut. It's a craziness. It's a craziness if you're not the kind of person who knows what you are. If you're makir mekoimcha, you understand what you are, who you are, that you've emptied your heart. And it's shofel and cholol relative to yourself as a person. But as the shliach of the Rebbeinu Shlalom, wow! So no covet is enough. Noch a covet, noch a covet, noch a runner in front of the carriage. 50 runners in front of the carriage. 100 runners in front of the carriage. Stutzik Rapa of Tischenbank. That's a Bayerische Gesach. I think that's what's going on over here. What's that got to do with Megillah Rus? So I think that both in Boaz and in Ruth, this self-abnegation, which comes from a matzav of a lev which is cholal or a shofel, both by Boaz and by Ruth, I think that is evident. By Boaz, at a level at least which we can understand, he goes and marries a geoyos. If tzonze Boaz, the Gemara says, and it says in Tanakh that he was a shofet, and he had 30 sons and 30 daughters, and he made banquets when they got married, 60 chasnas. 60 chasnas. That's even if they went to that place in Lakewood, which is a little cheaper. But 60 chasnas. Yeah, and he made 2 suitors for each one. Yeah, one by the base Chomov and one in his house. Asatzach Gaton. So he was the biggest aristocrat. He was a shofet. He was a great man, apparently. And a very wealthy person, this and that. Yeah. And now some little Gyaris comes over from Moab together with Naomi, who herself is now a mendicant. And he must have been uncomfortable even looking at her, like she's going around like never the people who have to ask for money and have to ask for help. So, that's a shidduch for me. And I'm going to marry this young lady. I mean, come on. Es passt sich nicht. Es passt sich ja. Livi cholol bekirbim. If she is the Eim HaMalchus whom I'm looking for, then she is the right one for me. Never mind what the neighbors are going to say. That is a bittle of Atzmius. But even that fades into absolute garnished when you think of Ruth, right? I'm sure that when we learned Ruth and Shavuos, we were all very, very happy. And Ruth had a little baby. Well, it was nice. But she really had a very hard life. And she had a baby. That's nice. So what happened? Vayikach Boaz es Ruth, vatehi lo leisha, vayova eleha, vayiten Hashem lo heroya en vatelet ben. Was can sein besser? Vatoimano ha-noshem el... Looks like there's a printing mistake over here. It says the Noshem said to Naomi. Naomi? Ruth was the mother. No, but it says over here, it says Naomi. Vatoimano ha-noshem el Naomi. Baruch Hashem asher lo hishpis lach goel hayom. V'yikor shmo b'Yisrael. Naomi, it's so nice, you have a goel. V'hoyo loch l'meshev nofesh. Ah, this child is going to make you feel so good. Oh, Kalo, that's true. The mother's in the hospital somewhere. Yeah, but I mean, we're now talking where it counts. We're talking to you. She's wonderful. She's not wonderful enough that I should go and visit her in the hospital or to send her a nice little note of Mazel Tov. That not. But, she's okay, and look, she brought this child for you. That's really nice. Vatikach Naomi es hayolet. We noticed that it wasn't Ruth who asked her to do this. Vatikach Naomi es hayolet, vateshiseyo b'cheko, vatehi lau le'omenes. Nu, so now there's time to give the child a name. Oh, so of course. Vatikreenu lo hashechenos, shem, lemer. Yula ben le Naomi. Like, it wouldn't be so strange, it would be funny. But Tikraenu Shemo Ovid, who are Yisha, Avi David? Do you know what the last time is when Ruth was mentioned in Megillas Ruth? The last time that Ruth was mentioned in Megillas Ruth was that after Boaz realized that she was lying on in his bed, so then later on he gives her some wheat or whatever it was, in a cloth, so she held one edge of the cloth. That was what she did. That was the last thing. Vayomu hovu hamitpachas asher olayich, ve'echezi bo, v'toches bo, vayomu sheish sa'orim, v'yoshes aleyo, v'yovo heye. That's the last action that she does. What's the last thing that she says? V'tova el chamoiso, v'toime mi'at v'ti, v'taged lo eskola she'ose lo heish. And so on and so forth. After that, Rus, after whom the Megillah is called, has nothing to say, nothing to act of any significance except having the baby. But in the name calling, and who is going to be the wet nurse, and as what's going on? What is going on? That is the Rambam, that his life has to be shofel v'cholol b'kibra. This is Malchus. This is Malchus. Maybe it wasn't such much fun to marry Boaz either. First of all, I think Chazal say he died the next day. But even beyond that, he already had 30 sons, 30 daughters. Yeah, 60 children already he had. He must have been an old man. And maybe, I don't know how old Ruth was, whether she was young or young, I don't know. But maybe she did what she had to do for the clan. At some level, she must have understood that we're talking about over here the building of the Malchus. And she did what she had to do with complete self-abnegation. Ich bin agonisch. I'm the mother, so maybe I have a say who should be the wet nurse. No, we'll take care of it. A name? The Shechinas, the good ladies, and so on. So I really think that when you think about it in these terms, and we see, Taka, what I said before, that the Teuchen of Megillas Rus, the Teuchen of Megillas Rus is the story of the sowing, putting in the seeds of the Malchus. And later on, Rus in Melochen is called the Aim HaMalchus. It's a different story now already. It's not part of this story. But she's called the Aim HaMalchus. And she, Mistama, understood that. And that was her tafket in life, to stell avek Malchus in Yisrael. And that she did with total and utter self-abnegation. That means that she was the greatest melech, although there's a din of melech v'lo malka, that's the government practice. But be'etzem, she was the biggest melech of everybody by being able to give away this most enormous, meaningful moment in a woman's life, and she laid no claim in any way. The Vayodek and Megillah, we should all learn a lot from it, to the extent that we can.